Comments made by the head ball coach from Dabo Swinney, PFF, Josh Ward. Loaded Wednesday show here on your Thanksgiving Day Eve, right here on Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, what's going on? This is the Locked On Vols, and I'm your host, Eric Kane. You can find me on Twitter at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. This is your go-to Tennessee Volunteers podcast each and every day. It's brought to you by a part of the Locked On Podcast Network that is your team every single day. And today's episode is brought to you in part by LinkedIn Jobs. Helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster and for free. You can post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnCollege. LinkedIn.com/LockedOnCollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. All right, we got a loaded show coming up here today. Want to get into some comments that have made their rounds amongst Tennessee fans. It almost feels like no matter what the sport is, the entire sports world loves to take their shots at Tennessee whenever something bad happens or whenever a bad loss happens. And sure, Tennessee fans often return the favor. So, I mean, it's sportsmanship, right? Gamesmanship is what I'm thinking of. It's gamesmanship. So it just kind of is what it is. But the head ball coach, Steve Spurrier, he had some interesting comments on Tennessee's loss the other night to South Carolina. Of course, he formerly coached at South Carolina, a longtime coach of the Florida Gators, where he was notorious for not only beating Tennessee, but talking smack about doing it. Steve Spurrier hails from Johnson City, Tennessee, and sees where he attended Science Hill High School. Steve Spurrier Field, one of the most beautiful venues in all college football or all high school football in Tennessee. But he was doing an interview with a radio show after Tennessee's loss to South Carolina over the weekend. And he had some things to say. He said, I almost feel sorry for Tennessee. They're not going to win the division. They're not going to win the SEC. They're not going to get in the playoff, Final Four. They're just going to have a little bit better than an average year, someone told me. Someone told you. Okay, that's the joke. I get it. Tennessee is probably headed for the Citrus Bowl. Now, I guess that's kind of a mean thing to say. Of course, back in the day, he said you can't spell UT without – or you can't spell citrus without UT. You know, Steve Spurrier is going to get his jabs in or whatever. But it's just – again, it's just kind of a bad look in my opinion. Tennessee's probably, they're going to have a little bit better than an average year. I mean, sure, you're not winning the division. You're not going to the SEC championship game. You're not going to the college football playoffs. But with a win on Saturday, Tennessee finishes the regular season with 10 wins. That's a pretty good year. And again, I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything. What happened on Saturday was unacceptable, okay? What happened on Saturday was pathetic. Defensive performance, it was just awful. But still, you finished with 10 wins. You know, that is not bad at all whatsoever. So Steve Spurrier taking his shots at Tennessee should come as no surprise, but I don't know. It's like give it up. I know that's a stick, but it's a bad look, dude. You're an old man now. Like, who cares? I mean, who really cares? Also, Dabo Swinney over at Clemson decided it would be his turn to take some swipes at Tennessee. And I don't really have that big of an issue with what Dabo said, of course, head coach of the Clemson Tigers. And here's why. We'll go over the comments in a moment. But, you know, Dabo's got rings. So even though a lot of what Dabo Swinney says, I think is just bogus and stupid, he's got rings. So he's allowed to say those things until people go and put him in his place. He doesn't win any more rings anymore. And, of course, that's kind of happening right now. But Clemson very well could slide in there at number four now in the college football playoffs. We'll have to see. So Dabo Swinney was doing his radio show Monday night, and he was quoted and saying, yeah, Tennessee, they were a little bit off offensively. Was Tennessee's perfect offensively? Absolutely not. But scored 31 points with Hendon Hooker in the game, your starting quarterback. Scored 38 points overall. I don't think the offense was too much of the issue there. Swinney goes on to say, and then defensively, they weren't a great defense coming into the game. And so they kind of got behind, man. It was one big play after another big play. South Carolina just executed incredibly well. They had a great game plan. So I agree with them that second half of the statement there. So South Carolina did have a great game plan. This is an offense that failed to score an offensive touchdown against Florida the week before. This is an offense that was atrocious so far this season. Marcus Satterfield was on the hot seat. And, you know, maybe that saved his job with that win over Tennessee. South Carolina was out of its top two running backs in Christian Bill Smith and Marshawn Lloyd. And the fact that they made up for the running game by going Wildcat with a former quarterback in Daquan Jordan Joyner, and, you know, Jaheim Bell, of course, is a Swiss Army knife, they were able to overcompensate for the loss of the two top backs. So Marcus Satterfield in South Carolina certainly did have a good game plan. And, you know, Spencer Rattler was just a Hon. I mean, he was better than any time I've ever seen him at Oklahoma, certainly better than any time I've ever seen him in South Carolina. Spencer Rattler was on, and give credit where credit's due. Sweeney goes on to say, and this is where it kind of rubs Tennessee fans the wrong way, and then you're in Tennessee's position, and they're like, okay, we beat South Carolina, we beat Vandy. They're in the playoffs, added Sweeney. You know, they're flipping burgers at the house, having a cold drink, watching the championship weekend, and wondering, what are we? Are we three? Are we four? Where are we going to be? Are we in Arizona? Are we in Atlanta? And next thing you know, you forget you got to go play a football game. But I think you just got to give all the credit to South Carolina. I think they just flat out kicked their butt. Again, I don't have a major issue with that. I'm bringing these comments onto the show because a lot of you guys wanted me to, and a lot of you guys are talking about it, and Tennessee fans are talking about it on social media. I don't have a huge issue with this either. Where I will disagree is Josh Heupel said repeatedly that last week was a really, really good week of practice, and he thought it went well. Cooper Mays said last week was a really good week of practice. He thought it went well. Amari Thomas said last week was a good week of practice. They thought they did well. Only two players have talked about the approach of the game on Saturday. That was Aaron Beasley on Monday, where he said there was no urgency at the beginning of the football game. And then again, it was Byron Young that just kind of said about the urgency as well, and they kind of came out flat. And so just because you come out flat and just because you have no urgency, that does not mean you weren't prepared or you didn't have a good week of practice. A lot of times that's what it can mean, but not always the case. I mean, again, that's why Josh Heupel, you know, preaches how important the last 48 to 24 hours before the football game is and being mentally locked in and ready to roll. Obviously, some members of Tennessee's defense were not mentally locked in and ready to roll. That does not mean they didn't have a good week of practice. That does not mean that they didn't put in the work throughout the week or were prepared by the coaches or anything like that. That's just how it happens sometimes. That's why if you're a good football team, you got to have great leadership to make sure everybody's dialed in and zoned in. You got to be mature about things, or you'll have losses like this that happen. And sometimes this is just kind of what happens. But those were some comments from Dabo Swinney, Clemson's head coach, who, again, I've disagreed with a lot of things that he said. 2 years ago, I said this on the Monday night chat over at VolQuest.com. 2 years ago, whenever it was, he said, hey, I'm not going to recruit anybody that's going to be interested in naming him in July. We don't do that here at Clemson. It's when Clemson was winning national championships. Well, you know, the world keeps spinning, buddy. You know, the world keeps spinning. And name, image, likeness is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. You adapt or you freaking die. And haven't heard a peep about Dabo Swinney and NIL since, because he kind of got the picture like, oh, this is bigger than Clemson. This is bigger than my football program. Okay, maybe I should see what all this is about. I'll go back on all that. They do some weird things in recruiting too. If you're a commit and shut you down and says, hey, you can't go anywhere else. You can't go experience any of these other life experiences that you get for these four official visits. I don't like that at all. I mean, you know, pretty much saying if you go anywhere else, I'll cut you. I don't like that, but I don't have that huge issue with what he's saying here. But for Steve Spurrier, it's like, come on, man, that is just a bad look for an old man. You've had your fun, and saying that Tennessee's just going to have a slightly above average season. Dude, if Tennessee beats Vanderbilt, which Tennessee's got to come ready to play. No Andon Hooker. Vanderbilt's 1-2 straight over Florida and Kentucky. If Tennessee takes care of business this Saturday with a backup quarterback and Joe Milton, you have 10 wins for the first time since 2003. Again, it's still a successful season, ends in disappointment. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be disappointed, because you should, because Tennessee could be in the college football playoffs, but still did a whole lot good this year. And so I think Steve Spurrier is just trying to be wise and make jokes, and I think a lot of that doesn't make sense. But that's my input on that. That's kind of what I think about that. A lot of you guys were just kind of wondering, so there you go. That's kind of my thoughts on the issues there. All right, when we come back, Pro Football Focus, let's take a look and see how bad Tennessee's defense was in terms of breaking down the individual stats, coverage, all that type of stuff. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. But these days, every new potential hire, this episode is brought to you in part by LinkedIn, can feel like the high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates that are available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. All you need to do is post your job, then add the purple hashtag hiring frame to your profile to spread the word that you are indeed hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize what you like to interview, who you like to interview, and then ultimately hire. It's why small businesses rank LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus the leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster and for free. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. All right, guys, we got Josh Moore coming up here in just a minute. I gave you my comments and my thoughts on what Dabo Swinney and Steve Spurrier had to say. Of course, Steve Spurrier, formerly of South Carolina, of course, Florida as well. He coached at both places, and Dabo Swinney is the head coach over for the Clemson Tigers. All right, so let's look at Pro Football Focus. It's not going to be pretty on defense, at least. So that's why we're going to start over on offense. Pro Football Focus, it gives you, you know, a clear picture, or not always a clear picture. It gives you part of the picture. That's why I like using it, but it's not everything. It's something. It's not everything. And the Pro Football Grading Scale Elite is 90 to 99. Very good is 80 to 89. Above average starter is 70 to 79. Average starter is 60 to 69. Below average starter is 50 to 59. And less than 50 on the PFF grading scale is considered a backup level player. On offense, Tennessee played 18 players. Quarterback Hendon Hooker, who played in 69 total snaps, graded out the highest at 73%. Joe Milton, who played in 15 snaps behind him, graded out at 72.1%. Squirrel White played in 33 snaps. Tennessee went four wide receiver sets a number of the time on Saturday because they were playing from behind. Squirrel White got a whole lot of run, played 33 snaps, graded out at 71.1. Princeton Fant played 25 snaps, a 70 grade. Cedric Tillman played 84 snaps, 69.1% was his grade. Jalen Wright, 33 snaps, 67.1 was his grade. Jeremiah Crawford played 9 snaps. I don't even remember that. I thought it was Gerald Mincy the entire time. Jeremiah Crawford played 9 snaps, 64.9 was his grade. Cooper Mays, 84 snaps, 64. Darnell Wright, 84 snaps, 63. Romel Keaton, 32 snaps. He played a lot as well because Brew McCoy didn't play in the second half. And he graded out at 62.3. Jerome Carvin, 84 snaps, 62. Jabari Small, 43 snaps, 61. Gerald Mincy, 75 snaps, 60. Jalen Hyatt, 81 snaps, 59. Brew McCoy, 52 snaps, 58% was his grade. And then Javonte Spraggins, 84 snaps, 54%. Jacob Warren, 29 snaps, 49%. So, again, overall, for the most part, Tennessee's offensive grades were not horrible. Again, it's one of those things to where Tennessee, in my opinion, played well enough to win. Sure, it missed on some throws. Hooker was a little inaccurate at times, but I thought it was played well enough to win. Directional passing for Tennessee, Hendon Hooker along with Joe Milton. See here, 20 yards down the field, left of the hash, 0 for 1. Between the numbers, 1 for 3, 41 yards and a touchdown. 20 yards down the field to the right, 0 for 4. 10 to 20 yards to the left, 1 for 1, 3 yards. In the middle, 4 for 6, 50 yards and a touchdown. And then no attempts to the right. From the line of scrimmage up to 10 yards. So a little intermediate game right there. Short passing. 1 for 1. This is outside left. 1 for 1, 4 yards. In the middle of the field, 9 for 12, 88 yards. To the right, 6 for 8, 40 yards. And then this is at the line of scrimmage or behind. In the middle of the field, 2 for 2 for 14 yards. And then on the right side, 1 for 2 and 7 yards. Hendon Hooker was, or the Tennessee's quarterbacks, were kept clean on 90% of dropbacks. Under pressure, only 9% of the time. How about that? Not just so you know, that math does add up. 90.9% of the time, he was kept clean on dropbacks. 9.1% of the time is when the Tennessee quarterbacks were pressured. Tennessee was not blitzed 61.4% of the times. They were blitzed 38.6% of the time. Let's go over some blocking. Let's see here. Pass blocking, Cooper Mays had one of his best games, 58 reps, 81.6 was his grade. Darnell Wright, 58 reps, 78.2% was his grade. Jabari Small, 30 reps, 74.1. He has gotten better at pass protection. He really has, Jabari Small. Dylan Sampson got 2 reps, graded out at 68.5. Jacob Warren, 20 reps, 66.9. Gerald Mincy, 51 reps, 63.1. These are good grades here. Jerome Carvin, 58 reps, 60.9. That's okay. And then it gets kind of bad here. Jalen Wright graded out at 42% in terms of pass blocking. Javonte Spraggins graded out at 35% in terms of pass blocking. And Princeton Fant graded out at 33% in terms of pass blocking. Now, let's go back to the pressure and depth here. Tennessee, it felt like in the football game, Tennessee did not blitz. I would have blitzed so much more because, again, what you're doing is not working. So if you give up a big play, who cares? You're going to give it up anyway, is my opinion. Spencer Rattler was kept clean on 79.1% of his dropbacks. He was under pressure only 20.9% of the time. Tennessee blitzed only 41.9% of the time. Again, Tennessee blitzed only 41.9% of the time. That feels so much higher than what I thought it was initially in real life. And of course, going back and watching the tape. So Tennessee actually almost was at a 50-50 split, but it was at a 60-40 split, blitzing 40% of the time. All right, guys, let's go to defense. Not great. Tennessee played 23 players on defense in this football game. Just kidding. That was South Carolina. Tennessee, well, no, same number. Tennessee played 26 players in this football game. Tyree West graded out the highest, 83.6. He had 14 reps. Aaron Beasley, who I thought had an okay game. He made mistakes, but he was one of the only ones out there making tackles and making plays. 73 snaps for Aaron Beasley, 69.1% was his grade. Wesley Walker, 24 snaps, 69.1. Tamari McDonald, nickelback, 67 snaps, 68% was his grade. Let's go some more starters. Byron Young, 59 snaps, 66.7 was his grade. Jalen McCullough, 81 snaps, 66.4. Let's see here. Amari Thomas, 33 snaps, 61.2. Latrell Bumpus, 34 snaps, 60.9. Excuse me. Trayvon Flowers, 70 snaps, 53.4% was his grade. Brandon Turnage, 37 snaps for going out, 52.8 was his grade. Juwan Mitchell did not have a good game. I knew that in real time and going back and watching it. 72 snaps, 45.1% was Juwan Mitchell's grade. And Danico Slaughter, tough night. He went out with injury as well. 29 reps, 38.1% was his grade. All right, let's look at the coverage, guys. It's not pretty. Let's see here. Jalen McCullough was targeted one time, gave up one reception for minus 1 yard. Wesley Walker targeted twice, gave up 2 receptions for 18 yards and a touchdown. Trayvon Flowers targeted once, gave up 1 reception, 15 yards. Tamari McDonald targeted 4 times, gave up 4 receptions for 40 yards. Let's see here. Christian Charles targeted 3 times, gave up 3 receptions, 63 yards, and a touchdown. Kamal Haddon was targeted 3 times, gave up 2 receptions. These numbers have changed since Sunday, guys, when I looked them up initially. Kamal Haddon targeted 3 times, gave up 2 receptions for 28 yards and a touchdown. That seems incredibly low to me. Roman Harrison, I'm not going to count him. Brandon Turnage was targeted 7 times, gave up 4 receptions for 80 yards. Juwan Mitchell was targeted 4 times, gave up 4 receptions for 76 yards and a touchdown. And then Danico Slaughter targeted 3 times, gave up 3 receptions for 86 yards and a touchdown. So, according to Pro Football Focus, Danico Slaughter, Juwan Mitchell, Kamal Haddon, Christian Charles, and Wesley Walker all gave up passing touchdowns. Not great. Not great. Hey, today I released a story over at VolQuest.com. Or if you're listening to this overnight, it will come out in the morning. Talking about how Tennessee's got to respond in the right way. You got punched in the mouth. How are you going to respond? You know, players have said the right things this week. They said the right things last week as well. How are you going to respond? I mean, again, Saturday was inexcusable. Saturday was horrific defensively. 10 possessions for South Carolina, give up 9 touchdowns. I mean, that is so bad. That is so, so bad. And this Tennessee defense, though not great, it's never been great, it's played so much better than that this year. It has. I mean, it has. It really has. So, again, how will Tennessee respond? It's got to respond the right way. And your number one leader in Hendon Hooker is no longer with you. Tennessee needs players to step up and to lead And to go in there and silence a Vanderbilt crowd that's probably going to be overcome by Orange anyway. But it's senior day. The Commodores are going for bowl eligibility. They've won two straight. This is not the layup that it was a month ago. It wasn't. Tennessee is favored by two touchdowns. It should be. Tennessee is a much better football team than Vanderbilt. But when you get that type of play on the road at South Carolina, especially defensively, Vanderbilt can beat you. Vanderbilt can beat you. Will it? I don't know. How will Tennessee respond? We will find out on Saturday at 7:30. All right. It is Wednesday. That means our good buddy Josh Ward is going to join the show. That is coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. But hey, BetOnline.net, your number one source for all your sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds, the trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer to esports. They finally got it all. It's all at BetOnline.net. Hey, Tennessee Vanderbilt opened at 14 points, now down to 13.5. That total is at 66.5. You can jump on Tennessee, the over, the under, covering the spread, not covering the spread, whatever, all that at BetOnline.net. Field Sports Podcast as well. You can check that out at BetOnline. Always the fastest and easiest way. Sorry, I'm about to cough. Sorry, guys. Always the fastest and easiest way to get in your sports fix. Swear I don't smoke cigarettes. Head on over to the website today. Use that mobile device. Learn about all the latest trends, all the action. That's at BetOnline. It is where the game starts. A final segment left here of this Wednesday edition of Locked On Vols. Hey, just a day before Thanksgiving, and somebody I'm super, super thankful for. His name is Josh Ward, Josh underscore Ward on Twitter, host of Josh and Swain on The Sports Animal, noon to three every weekday. Are you thankful for me, Josh?
Eric, more thankful than I can even try to express on this show, so I won't even attempt it.
That's a good answer. Good answer. Hey, what was not a good answer? Gosh, Tennessee looked like garbage defensively. Mm. In Columbia, man, 10 possessions, 9 touchdowns. I mean, you're not a coach, you're not a player, but my goodness, what went wrong?
Everything went wrong from beginning until end. You could not really write up a worse storyline than how things played out on Saturday, from the performance on the field, the way Tennessee looked. You throw in Hendon's unfortunate injury to finish things off, and all the buildup to Saturday just disappeared almost immediately, it felt like. And, you know, we see surprising results in sports all the time. That's the beauty of sports. Rarely am I stunned. Just, I can't believe what I'm watching. And that was the case on Saturday. Is Tennessee's defense has had problems this season, but not those kinds of problems. Not anywhere close to that. And we've seen responses a lot of times, even when they've had some issues within a game. We didn't see any of that from Tennessee's defense. The offense did some good things, but it wasn't up to its typical high level against that level opponent. And knowing what was at stake and seeing how Tennessee looked on the field, and then finding out, you know, maybe where the mindset was going into the game, I was stunned. I didn't see any of that coming, considering how South Carolina had been playing and what Tennessee had done to other opponents like South Carolina and the opportunity the Vols had.
Yeah, there's been some wild rumors about why is that. And I mean, it's fair to question, because again, this team's not been great defensively all year, but it's not been that. And it has made strides in certain areas, and it has played good football at certain times of the season. So I understand to question, like, hey, what went wrong? Like, seriously, what happened? Because we haven't seen that for the other, you know, 9 games a season or whatever outside of Georgia. So, but I mean, there's some conspiracy theories. I mean, it's just, the wildest thing I've heard all week was, you know, players were intentionally not playing well, you know, just because they're mad at their teammates. Like, what? Like, yeah. You think they want to get their tails whipped on ESPN and miss out on the chance to go to the college football playoff, or miss out on a chance to impress some NFL scouts? Get real. I mean, it was just...
Yeah, that notion is absurd. There's the chance to go to the playoff. Also, SEC football players, or really any kind of competitor, doesn't want to suck.
Yeah.
And so going out there and playing terribly on purpose would make no sense. I don't think they were all the way dialed in mentally. I think the game got started. South Carolina built momentum. Tennessee had no answers for any of it as the game went along, and it snowballed on Tennessee, and it just got worse as the game went along. So there were issues leading up to the game. I think that's very obvious at this point, but players tanking on purpose would not be it.
And also, it's not always kumbaya, okay? I mean, anybody that's ever been around football, you know, you're brothers. You fight, you yell, you have disagreements, but then you go to battle each and every Saturday, right? And unfortunately, Tennessee just didn't play well on Saturday, and it was, I mean, it was costly. There's a lot.
And
of
I will also add, if when fans are saying, "Hey, where is Jeremy Banks?" We're led to believe that he's this senior leader on the football team, and he's not there, and it's not an injury, and what's going on, and there's mystery, and then rumors start to build. I'm fully aware of how things spread, but players weren't tanking; they weren't trying to lose or trying to play poorly. That wouldn't make sense. But fans wondering what is going on, why did that happen? That's very justifiable because you haven't seen that all season long, and then you see a senior that's left home and not allowed to be a part of the game. Well, then fans are going to ask questions for sure.
And also, the head football coach could have put everything to rest on Monday and or after the football game, which I'm going to give him a break there. I mean, you just got your tail whipped, and it is what it is. But on Monday, I mean, you could have put a lot of that to bed, and you didn't. I mean, again, he's head football coach. He can, and that's what he wants to do, and that's completely fine. But, like, you know, in terms of all this speculation and rumors and all this type of stuff, and I mean, a lot of that could have been handled on Monday, I feel like. You look at what transpired throughout the football game. There's a lot of people that, deservedly so, were upset and frustrated mm-hmm. with some of the secondary coaching and that type of play back there. I think they're restricted in some of the things they can do. It's been musical chairs and all that, but the lack of adjustments in a football game is baffling. When you are giving up a touchdown on every single possession, why not just say, "Hey, I'm going to go up and I'm going to try to play press man and try to keep you from getting off the line. If you throw a penalty, who cares? If you get by me and score a touchdown, you're going to anyway." The lack of adjustments.
At least we get the ball back quicker. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was just mind-blowing to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That was not a good game for Tennessee's defensive staff. There's no argument otherwise. Now, when that happens, of course, we go 0 to 100 real quick in the conversation, and conversations operate in extremes way too often in college football. That's just the way that it is. So criticizing the staff for Saturday's performance is justifiable. Turning that into, well, we need wholesale changes with the staff, that can be too big of a leap. We'll see during the offseason, you know, what happens with the staff if Josh Heupel does want to make a change. But in terms of, like, immediate changes, I don't think that's fixing things, as you have to get ready for a game, and it's game week, and you have to turn the page very quickly, literally, in preparation. But I thought the same thing. I mean, the pressure wasn't there, right, against Spencer Rattler, and he was never taken out of a very comfortable rhythm that was established early in the game, and South Carolina from there was able to do what it wanted to for the most part throughout the entire game. And Tennessee didn't seem to have anything to offer. And there's obviously a lack of confidence in some of those guys in the secondary. Kamal Haddon was back playing, but I don't know how much the staff has confidence in him playing well. And
how much confidence do you have in him?
Well, he shows confidence in himself the way that he talks on the field, but honestly, Eric, I thought that was really embarrassing for Tennessee because of the way the game's going and the team itself is getting embarrassed via the scoreboard. And then all the attention on Kamal and the back and forth with the sideline. I thought it was a really bad look. But you know, that's the personality of Kamal. Christian Charles not playing very well. And I'm not sure how much confidence he has in himself. It'd kind of be the opposite there. So safety play has not been where it needs to be. You know, there were some, you know, really troubling signs the week before, right, against Missouri, and it carried over to the next week. So, yeah, it's just awful, the secondary performance. And I think Tim Banks is a good coach on the back end. I think Willie Martinez has done a really good job with coaching and player development in the secondary. But Saturday would not be an example of that, and they would not. 9 touchdowns and 10 possessions. We don't have to go through the reasons why. It was an awful day. So preparation could not have been good enough. You can't prepare well enough to perform like that. And the way that they reacted within the game and adjustments or lack thereof, whatever they decided to do, was obviously the wrong choice.
All right, quickly, I got 2 more questions I do want to ask you, but I want to ask you this little half a question, sub question. What was more embarrassing, Kamal Haddon barking after every single play after getting beat and giving up first downs, or Shane Beamer going out to the numbers and pointing to the Tennessee sideline? He acted like a complete child on Saturday, and that was really embarrassing.
Yeah, and it made me wonder, is there more there because of the conversation the booth was having on the TV broadcast talking about Beamer and Heupel and the buildup to the handshake, was that all just because of what was happening within the game, or is there more backstory there? Shane Beamer's been interesting this season on the field and in press conference settings. He at least gets to do what he wants to. And considering the result and the way that his team's playing, I have wondered here the last few weeks, that has Tennessee created a target for itself the way that it's run up points? And you had the late touchdown against Missouri. You have Dabo's comments, Clemson. That's Dabo too. So maybe something about the state of South Carolina. You know, you have the Gamecocks and you have the Tigers there as part of the conversation. But if you're making me choose one between the two, he's a college player. But and yeah, personnel is limited. But why not put Wright in at corner? Somebody else besides Kamal Haddon. He would not have been on the field late in the game or as the game went along. If I was Tennessee's coaches, he obviously wasn't doing anything from a production standpoint, and the talking back and forth with the sideline was making things worse and creating potential for some kind of incident, which you want to avoid.
You've got Dabo, who said 2 years ago he would never recruit anybody that's interested in NIL. Well, you know, I mean, obviously that's a lie. I mean, Dabo lies all the time. He's just trying to stay relevant. So he's a good coach, but he's just kind of an idiot in that regard. And then Shane Beamer.
He has the rings, though. That would be the difference. You're right. Like him and Shane Beamer. Dabo has the rings. He has a couple of national titles. He's taken it to Nick Saban on the biggest stage. So he at least has the resume and the history to say what he wants to. And his personality is different than most college football coaches. For the most part, I found Shane Beamer likable during the summer at Media Days. He was telling some really nice stories about his time at Tennessee. So he has connections to UT and talking about being in Knoxville and all that stuff. But yeah, just some peculiar behavior this season. And I also recognize stress builds. No matter how much money you make as a coach, stress builds, and that affects personality. So I'll point that out. But South Carolina was able to do whatever it wanted to Saturday with the way that it played.
Yeah, Shane Beamer, I think that whenever it ends, it's going to end very, very poorly. But I do think that I get some of his antics to an extent. The cool guy, the shades, the dancing. It's cringe. I don't like it, but I get it. Some of the way he's handled questions in press conferences this year, the way he handled Saturday night, I lost a little bit of respect for him. Anyway, last thing I got for you. How big is this Vanderbilt game now? Vanderbilt's playing for bowl eligibility. They've won two straight. Senior day, Tennessee limping in. No star quarterback in Hendon Hooker. Playing for pride in a 10-win season, a New Year's Six bowl game. It's a massive football game, and the way the defense played, Josh, I think it'll be a close football game right now.
Yeah, it could be. And Vanderbilt has all kinds of confidence, and they're very excited about an opportunity to go to a bowl game. I mean, this is a real deal opportunity for Vandy to get to six wins when they've been made fun of and talked about as a team that is by themselves with a lot of space in between everybody else at the bottom of the SEC. A chance to win three straight games in the conference, get wins against Florida and Tennessee in back-to-back weeks would be a huge deal. So Vanderbilt sees an opportunity and is right to do so. And, you know, Hendon Hooker's not out there. So Joe Milton has a lot of talent, and you know, these bombs he's been throwing at the end of games have been very exciting, but with no pressure and no risk for anything going bad. Now there is pressure and there is risk. And by the way, he needs to stay healthy because you're down to one scholarship quarterback who's healthy for this game.
They're going to call you to come out there.
I'm ready, you know, arms loose, leg spry still. So, this game is big for different reasons than a week ago. There is no playoff opportunity. There's a chance to win 10 games. There's a chance to go to the Orange Bowl maybe for Tennessee or, you know, a quality bowl game and finish strong compared to how previous seasons have gone. Last week, you know, would affect the finishing strong conversation, obviously, but, so there's something to be had. Eric, if they lose this game, it's a total disaster. There is no positive spin, even if it is Joe Milton at quarterback, to finishing the season with losses in blowout fashion against South Carolina, and then however they would lose to Vanderbilt, there just would not be an explanation that would be reasonable to Tennessee fans. And that's why the shades of 16 conversation has started to pop up, where that team still had opportunity, not necessarily to win the East, but to go to the Sugar Bowl and finish strong. But they lost to South Carolina. And they had a locker room issue with that game. And then the loss to Vanderbilt, where they scored points. They couldn't get stops. And going into this game, we're talking about can Tennessee's defense get stops. So a season that has been so positive and has so many great memories, like the Alabama win. By the way, 16, the win against Florida, the win against Georgia on the Hail Mary. So they cannot lose this game. It doesn't mean the program falls apart, but the goodwill that's been built up and the positive memories that have been created, man, those will really be blurred out if you finish with losses to South Carolina and Vandy. So I cannot stress enough the importance of winning this game. Fans will stress it. So I can stop and fans will do it the rest of the week saying we better beat Vanderbilt this week.
Well, you and I today right here, bucket sunshine. Woo! I tell you what.
Happy Thanksgiving.
But hey, but you know, Tennessee does have an opportunity and you just go handle business. You're still a 2-touchdown favorite. I don't care who's playing quarterback. Tennessee should win this football game.
Yeah.
You win this football game, you're feeling a whole lot better about the year overall. Cause I agree with you. You lose it, that's a collapse. 9-3 is a good record. That's a collapse. So
yeah. 10-2, you beat Vanderbilt. The season is no doubt a huge success with a disappointing result late in the season. Yeah. I'll recognize that. But 10-2 is no doubt a success. You try to build on it in recruiting. Recruiting momentum still exists. They're in good shape for 2024. So big picture, long term, nothing should change about how this program is viewed. But if you lose Saturday, the conversation will turn back in a negative way. So take care of business this week and you don't have to worry about that.
He is Josh Ward at Josh_Ward on Twitter. And he's the host of Josh and Swain on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Weekdays, noon to 3. He's going to be off Thursday, as will the entire station. But he'll be back Friday to get you set for Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Josh, thanks so much, man.
You got it. Thank you, Eric.
It is Ward Wednesday, every single Wednesday, right here on Locked On Vols. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. We went over the Pro Football Focus grades. We talked with Josh Ward. We're going to get into more of a little bit of a Vanderbilt prep the next 2 days. We will be having a show tomorrow. Don't worry. So when you're in the car going to grandma's house or you need to go downstairs or upstairs to get away from family members who are driving you insane, pop in those earbuds, turn on YouTube. We'll have Locked On Vols for you tomorrow on a Thanksgiving holiday. We will chat with the VFL. We will chat some recruiting as well. We'll be back Friday to get you set for Tennessee and Vanderbilt as well. So that's the show. Guys, appreciate it. Same time, same place. Let's do it tomorrow. Check on Locked On Sports today. Make that your second listen. Right behind Locked On Vols, your first listen each and every day. See you tomorrow, guys.